It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for. It
was a basic quid pro quo. It was the conditioning of official acts for something of great value to the president. These political investigations, it goes right to the heart of the issue of bribery, as well as other potential high crimes or misdemeanors. But we also have heard for the first time that knowledge of this scheme was pervasive. The Secretary of State was aware of it. The acting chief of staff, Mulvaney, was aware of it. And, of course, at the very top, Donald Trump, through his personal lawyer and others, was implementing it. And so this, I think, only goes to underscore just how significant the president's obstruction of this investigation has been. We now can see the veneer has been torn away just why Secretary Pompeo and President Donald Trump do not want any of these documents provided to Congress, because apparently they show, as Ambassador Sondland has testified, that the knowledge of this scheme to condition official acts, a White House meeting and $400 million in security assistance to an ally at war with Russia, was conditioned on political favors the president wanted for his reelection. So I think a very important moment in the history of this inquiry.
Thank you. All right, that was Adam Schiff yesterday. He's the chairman of the Intelligence Committee leading the impeachment inquiry. Sandy Rios with you. This is really the nut of what's happening in Washington, and certainly of what happened yesterday. If you watched CNN or if you watched any of the other nightly broadcasts, NPR, in fact, a friend of mine was in the airport, and she said, is it over for the president? Because that's what they heard. They heard Adam Schiff come out and declare victory. So I'm going to spend this first part of the show just letting you hear what the real truth is on this issue. Adam Schiff ran out before the press after Gordon Sondland, the ambassador to the EU, had testified, according to Adam Schiff, that there had been quid pro quo, and everyone knew it. Now, I want you to hear exactly what Ambassador Sondland said. Let's listen.
As I testified previously, Mr. Giuliani's requests were a quid pro quo for arranging a White House visit for President Zelensky. Mr. Giuliani demanded that Ukraine make a public statement announcing the investigations of the 2016 election DNC server and Burisma. Mr. Giuliani was expressing the desires of the President of the United States, and we knew these investigations were important to the president. Fifth, in July and August of 2019, we learned that the White House had also suspended security aid to Ukraine. I was adamantly opposed to any suspension of aid. As the Ukrainians needed those funds to fight against Russian aggression. I tried diligently to ask why the aid was suspended, but I never received a clear answer. Still haven't to this day. In the absence of any credible explanation for the suspension of aid, I later came to believe that the resumption of security aid would not occur until there was a public statement from Ukraine committing to the investigations of the 2016 elections and Burisma, as Mr. Giuliani had demanded. I shared concerns of the potential quid pro quo regarding the security aid with Senator Ron Johnson, and I also shared my concerns with the Ukrainians.
All right, so that was Gordon Sondland's testimony, and that was the moment in which Adam Schiff left the room and declared that it's all over. The ambassador who supposedly, you know, a Trump appointee who was who donated to his inaugural fund. Now he's just said there is quid pro quo. All right, so after lunch, when the Republicans began to interact with Gordon Sondland, we learned a great deal more. Here first is Congressman Jim Jordan with Gordon Sondland. Let's listen.
I thank the gentleman for yielding. Ambassador, when did it happen?
When did what happen?
The announcement. When did President Zelensky announce that the investigation was going to happen? On page 14, you said this. Was there a quid pro quo? Today's your opening statement. As I testified previously, with regard to a requested White House call, White House meeting, the answer is yes, that there needed to be a public statement from President Zelensky. When the chairman asked you about the security assistance dollars, you said there needed to be a public announcement from Zelensky. So I'm asking you a simple question. When did that happen?
Never did.
Never did. They got the call July 25th. They got the meeting, not in the White House, but in New York on September 25th. They got the money on September 11th. When did the meeting happen again?
Never did.
You don't know who was in the meeting?
Which meeting are you referring to?
The meeting that never happened. Who was in it? You know how Zelensky announced it? Did he tweet it? Did he do a press statement? Did he do a press conference? You know how that happened? I mean, you got all three of them wrong. They get the call, they get the meeting, they get the money. It's not 2 plus 2, it's 0 for 3. I mean, I've never seen anything like this. And you told Mr. Castor that the president never told you that the announcement had to happen to get anything. In fact, he didn't just not tell you that. He explicitly said the opposite. The gentleman from Texas just read it. You said to the president of the United States, what do you want from Ukraine? The president, I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. I want Zelensky to do the right thing. I want him to do what he ran on. What did he run on, Ambassador Sondland?
Transparency.
And dealing with corruption, right?
That's right.
Mr. Castor raised another important point. Why didn't you put that statement in your opening statement?
Yeah, so we asked him that statement. Why didn't you put it in your opening statement? And it turns out the opening statement is like, I don't know, 25 pages long. And Sondland says, oh, it wasn't intentional. Why wouldn't you open with that statement? What statement is Jim Jordan talking about? That's found in clip 9.
But I believe I just asked him an open-ended question, Mr. Chairman. What do you want from Ukraine? I keep hearing all these different ideas and theories and this and that. What do you want? And it was a very short, abrupt conversation. He was not in a good mood. And he just said, I want nothing. I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. Tell Zelensky to do the right thing. Something to that effect.
All right, so that's Gordon Sondland, and that's the part that he left out of his opening statement. And in his statement later, which Adam Schiff claims is the dagger in the heart of Donald Trump, that's my words, not his. I'm surprised he didn't think of that. But so the point is that Gordon Sondland, in his statement, did not even, he claims that if Giuliani's requests were a quid pro quo, well, Giuliani, if he did request those things, got none of them. That's Jim's point. It's nothing. Nothing happened. When did that statement happen? It didn't. When did that meeting happen? It didn't. They did get their money, right? They got their money. So it's nothing. It is absolutely nothing. Now, I want to drive it home further, though, because Mike Turner did an exchange with Sondland that I think is stunning. And you have to hear it. I could tell you, but I want you to hear it for yourself. This is clip 1.
Ambassador Sondland, I want to walk through some of the portions of your testimony, because sometimes you seem to make direct connections and sometimes they seem to be dead ends. I kind of want to clear up what are the dead ends and what are the direct connections. Yesterday, Ambassador Volker, who I consider to be very talented and a man of integrity, and I believe you think he's a man of integrity, correct?
I do.
He testified that the President of the United States did not tie either a meeting with the President, a phone call, or any aid to investigations of Burisma 2016 or the Bidens, that the President did not do that. And you've testified that the President did not tell you that he tied them either, correct?
I did testify to that, although when Ambassador Volker and I were working on the statement and negotiating with the Ukrainians, it was clear to Ambassador Volker that a meeting would not happen without the Burisma in 2016. That was very clear to Ambassador Volker.
And how do you know that? What did he say to you? Because he says that was not clear to him. In fact, he says that's not the case. He was working on that. He knows that that's what the president wanted, but he didn't have it as this was a requirement.
Oh, I strongly disagree with that portion of his testimony. It was absolutely a requirement, or we would have just had the meeting and been done with it.
What about the aid? He says that they weren't tied, that the aid was not tied.
And I didn't say they were conclusively tied either. I said I was presuming it.
Okay. And so the president never told you they were tied. So your testimony, his testimony is consistent, and the president did not tie aid to investigations.
That's correct.
Okay. He also testified that he spoke to Giuliani and that Giuliani did not relate that he was tying on behalf of the president or on the president's behalf aid. And that, in fact, Giuliani never said to him that aid was tied to investigations. Now, the question I have for you is, did you ever have a conversation with Giuliani that did not involve Volker? Because your testimony is a lot of we's and us's. So do you and Giuliani have a separate conference, separate phone call where Giuliani told you that the aid was tied? Because Volker says, and if he was on all your phone calls, Volker says that never happened.
No, I did have a few conversations. I don't recall how many because I don't have the records with Mr. Giuliani directly when Mr. Volker wasn't available. I don't believe I testified that Mr. Giuliani told me that aid was tied.
All right, Turner goes on, and guys, I'm going to ask you to hold the clock. I want to play the rest of this. This is Mike Turner finishing his interaction with Gordon Sondland. Let's listen.
Oh, I think, see, this is part of the problem, Ambassador Sondland, and I just want to walk you through this, is you've said to us everyone was in the loop, and everyone knew. Now, hold a second. I've listened to you today, as a lot of people, and not only are your answers somewhat circular, frequently you've contradicted yourself in your own answer. Now, the text messages and emails that you put up there, Kurt Volker walked us through, and he has a completely different understanding of what you were saying than what you're saying you were saying. So I'm a little confused as to how everyone's in the loop, because if Giuliani didn't give you any express statement, then it can't be that you believe this from Giuliani. Now, let me tell you right now, because is Donald Trump your friend?
No, we're not friends.
Okay. Do you like the president?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, after you testified, Chairman Schiff ran out and gave a press conference and said he gets to impeach the president of the United States because of your testimony. And if you pull up CNN today, right now, their banner says Sondland ties Trump to withholding aid. Is that your testimony today, Ambassador Sondland, that you have evidence that Donald Trump tied the investigation to the aid? Because I don't think you're saying that.
I've said repeatedly, Congressman, I was presuming. I also said that President Trump.
So no one told you. Not just the president. Giuliani didn't tell you. Mulvaney didn't tell you. Nobody. Pompeo didn't tell you. Nobody else on this planet told you that Donald Trump was tying aid to these investigations. Is that correct?
I think I already testified.
No, answer the question. Is it correct? No one on this planet told you that Donald Trump was tying this aid to the investigations? Because if your answer is yes, then the chairman's wrong and the headline on CNN is wrong. No one on this planet told you that President Trump was tying aid to investigations. Yes or no?
Yes.
So you really have no testimony today that ties President Trump to a scheme to withhold aid from Ukraine in exchange for these investigations?
Other than my own presumption.
Which is nothing. I mean, that's what I don't understand. So you know what hearsay evidence is, Ambassador? Hearsay is when I testify what someone else told me. Do you know what made-up testimony is? Made-up testimony is when I just presume it. I mean, you're just assuming all of these things, and then you're giving them the evidence that they're running out and doing press conferences, and CNN's headline is saying that you're saying the President of the United States should be impeached because he tied aid to investigations, and you don't know that, correct?
I never said the President of the United States should be impeached.
Nope, but you did. You have left people with the confusing impression that you were giving testimony that you did not. You do not have any evidence that the President of the United States was tied to withholding aid from Ukraine in exchange for investigations. I yield back.
All right, that was Mike Turner, and that was an incredible exchange, and you just had to hear it. And then we learned yesterday that, did you know this, that the Democratic congressman from East Portland, it's Representative Earl Blumenauer, has been boycotting Sondland's business chain, has called for a boycott. People are marching on it in Portland. And he owns like six different properties in the city of Portland. His wife actually is the one who owns that. And an ice cream chain that's long partnered with his businesses has withdrawn. So he's getting hammered in Oregon. And by the way, then, the Democratic Representative Earl Blumenauer tweeted just yesterday, Gordon Sondland, welcome to the resistance. Do you smell something rotten in here? I wanted you to hear, because all day, if you're watching CNN or other MSNBC or whatever, they're going to tell you that Sondland delivered the fatal blow to Donald Trump. And it's not true. It's just not true. All right, there's so much more news. I do want to open the phone lines today, and I will do that as soon as I can. But bear with me. There are things that I want to tell you that you might not hear other places. You know that. And so I must do that. So stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Every day, babies in their mothers' wombs are fighting for life, with abortion being the leading cause of death.
I already had my mind made up. I was like, I'm going to go through with it.
The Ministry of Preborn has pregnancy centers nationwide, standing by to help young moms in crisis choose life. Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country. By letting a mother see her baby in the womb and hear the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life for her baby.
When I'm sitting there, the lady is giving me my ultrasound. She's like making these weird faces. She's like, it's two. I just start crying. I was like, I can't.
And sometimes the blessing is doubled. Preborn's mission is to help save babies' lives and souls. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance each day to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Richard Hippolyt, Acting General Counsel at the Department of Veterans Affairs. His office provides legal services related to programs for U.S. veterans. Galatians 6:2 reminds us of the importance of helping others. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask for guidance for Richard Hippolyt in his work on behalf of America's veterans. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. This Christmas season, send a prayer or Christmas greeting to President Trump and his family. Your message will be delivered straight to the Oval Office. It's fun, easy, and it's free. Learn how at pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of champions for Christ by texting GIVE to 839-858.
Well, one of the nation's largest makers of cereal wants you to have a breakfast conversation with your kids about gay rights. Kellogg is partnering with the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation to produce a pro-gay cereal box. Altogether Cereal, that's what they're calling it. It's a bright purple box that features Tony the Tiger and Toucan Sam on the cover. frolicking about with a number of other cereal mascots. Kellogg says they're taking a stand against bullying, and they want to support a more accepting world for LGBTQ youth. Their pro-gay cereal box is meant to celebrate Spirit Day, no matter who you love. The all-new Gay Variety Pack also includes boxes of Rice Krispies, Frosted Flakes, and Fruit Loops. Huh. Well, snap, crackle, pop, America. Be sure to order a signed copy of my new book, Culture Jihad, at toddstarns.com.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
What would you say in your first call with Russian President Vladimir Putin?
First, I'd say, I'm sorry I beat your guy.
If you think a woman can't beat Donald Trump, Nancy Pelosi does it every single day.
We need to stop this man-made crisis at the border. Trump is the one who has created this crisis.
We cannot simply be consumed by Donald Trump. Because if we are, you know what? We're going to lose the election.
It's unfortunate that we have someone on the stage who, during the Obama administration, spent 4 years full-time on Fox News criticizing President Obama.
Senator Harris is doing is unfortunately continuing to traffic in lies and smears and innuendos.
This week I hear him literally say that I don't think we should legalize marijuana. I thought you might have been high when you said it.
I have more people supporting me in the black community than it amounts for me. The only African-American woman who's ever been elected to the United States Senate. A whole range of people.
No, that's not true. The other one is here.
All right, that was a montage done by Fox and Friends this morning on the Democratic debate last night. Did you know there was one? There was one. And I'm actually not going to spend any time talking about it. It was interesting, but honestly, there are going to be so many more of those debates. The impeachment really takes precedent in terms of the importance of talking about that this morning. So I want to give you some other information. I was just in a meeting yesterday. Let's see. Where Alex Vindman's Lieutenant Colonel Alex Vindman's name came up, and I think you're going to be hearing a lot more about Vindman. I think people are going to be speaking out. First of all, you have to know, I did allude to this, but I didn't embellish it probably enough, and I will, I hope to. Vindman testified, of course, in his uniform, and he really is the first, according to military friends of mine, in recent history, as far as we know, he is the first person up the chain of command to testify publicly against his commander-in-chief. And yes, he did break the code of military, whatever the justice, I think it's called, when he did that. And there will be more information about him. In fact, I can't go into his story in the moment because of other news. But George Rasley of Conservative HQ just published an article which will fill in some of the blanks about Vindman, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, the Vindman intelligence operation against Trump. And we know that there is a deep resistance in the American military. When Barack Obama took over as president, boy, he poisoned, really. He did an incredible job of taking over agencies, of planting people. In fact, he appointed hundreds of people in the last few weeks of his presidency to populate the agencies. He also shifted some of the political appointees to career appointees so that they couldn't be gotten rid of very easily. You just have no idea the depth of what President Trump did to poison the American society and system. And one of those things was in the Pentagon. And now his appointees and the people that he chose are deeply embedded. Many of them are at the top. And I'll just give you an example. So don't think that Vindman is acting alone. I'll just give you an example of someone else. We talked about Eddie Gallagher being the president restoring his ability to get a promotion. Remember, he did that. Remember, the president is the commander-in-chief. He pardoned two soldiers who were at Leavenworth. One was at Leavenworth, and the other was his trial was pending, as I recall. Both of them charged with murder in the course of being on the battlefield. I think both of them, I believe, were in Afghanistan. The president pardoned them over the weekend. It was a big, huge story that nobody heard. And so we talked about it on Monday. But the third thing that he did was to restore Special Warfare Operator Chief Edward Eddie Gallagher's his rank. And so he is a Navy SEAL, and you know the story, but here's the deal. This is the new part of the story. Special Warfare Operator Chief Eddie Edward Gallagher has filed an Inspector General's complaint against the Navy's top SEAL, accusing him of uttering contemptuous statements about the Commander-in-Chief. The move came hours before a Wednesday morning meeting with Naval Special Warfare Superiors in California, who are expected to inform Gallagher that Naval Special Warfare Commander Rear Admiral Colin Green has convened a Trident Review Board on December 2nd to take the coveted SEAL qualification pin away from the special operator. That's Eddie Gallagher. So bottom line is Rear Admiral Colin Green, who is the Navy's top SEAL, and I understood from a meeting I was in yesterday that that Colin Green, Rear Admiral Colin Green, spoke incredibly disrespectfully to our president, using a foul language in this private meeting. Some were talking about it. They'd never heard anything like it. So he also now has, he's breached protocol. He's breached regulations. And I think there's going to be, if there isn't some kind of retribution for this, then there's going to be a serious problem in the military. Maybe this is an opportunity for President Trump to start the bricks to fall on some of these people who have formed a resistance inside the Pentagon and now are really feeling their oats. And by the way, according to this story from, I believe this is from whatever the naval publication is, the people that are under Rear Admiral Colin Green, many of them chain of command, are all speaking out in support. And so the statement is that this is a statement from the attorney of Eddie Gallagher. He said, as for those in his chain of command who appear to be supporting Green, there needs to be a wholesale change in leadership. If Navy leadership can't accept the Commander-in-Chief's guidance, they should all leave. There's a longstanding tradition in the military. You don't rebel or you resign. And so that's just a touch of that story. But in fact, we should put this on our Facebook page too. Did the Navy's top SEAL show contempt for Trump? Now, in this article, it does not specify what he said. I heard that in a private meeting yesterday. And so I'm just telling you, that's a development that's happening. And I think that Vindman is part of that, is part of that resistance within the military in a different branch. So just stay tuned. We'll see what's going to happen with that. And by the way, the whistleblower, Eric Cherumella, a photo has just surfaced with him shaking hands with Barack Obama in the Oval Office. And so a lot of people, of course, it was posted on a website of a friend of Eric Cherumella's, a wedding website of his. So it was posted very currently. And of course, remember that Cherumella was the NSC's Ukraine director. That was a post that is currently now occupied by Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, who testified against the president just a few days ago. And they work together. But of course, Vindman says he doesn't know the whistleblower. Remember that? He said that yesterday. We played that. Cherumella was briefly acting NSC Senior Director for European and Russian Affairs. And Fiona Hill took that over after he left. And, of course, Fiona Hill then says she doesn't remember Cherumella's name. None of them have amnesia when it comes to Cherumella. But I just wanted you to know there's a photo now with him shaking hands with Barack Obama in the Oval Office. We know enough about him. We know he worked with Joe Biden. We know that Joe Biden had him as an invited guest to a big, it was a dinner related to Ukraine. I have a lot more to say about Ukraine, so I'm going to move on. Just something humorous, because heaven knows we need humor. You know that artist in Los Angeles, I think his name is pronounced Sabo or Sabo. He does all of these beautiful, like, sidewalk art and wall art, like graffiti art. There's one on a bench waiting for a bus stop. And now the one he has up is a picture like those gay posters of all these guys in, you know, chains and bare-chested. And the people that he has on this are, let's see, I've got to read the list because, okay, so it's Adam Schiff, Mark Zuckerberg, Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, Stormy Daniels, Chris Cuomo of CNN, and several others. He's got them posed on the back of this, and he calls it unsavory agents. And so, and then he's got one of Adam Schiff looking like a clown. He's got a big nose on, and he calls it Shifty Schiff's Clown Show, live at 10 a.m. So this is the artist in Los Angeles who's breaking all protocol out there. So just a little aside so you know what's going on. Now I want to tell you about Ukraine. This is the latest on Ukraine. A leaked Ukrainian indictment claims that $7.4 billion are linked to Obama laundering. And the Biden group, which was Hunter Biden's group, took $16.5 million of that $7.4 billion, according to a leaked Ukrainian indictment. There's a lot of detail in this, but I just don't think I can stop to get all of that. Let's just say that the son of the vice president was receiving huge payments for his services, and some of this money went to a Biden law firm, some other monies. It's really such a sordid tale. John Solomon has tracked the timeline on this, and this is a very long article, too. John does great reporting, but he's really done a timeline, and he ties into it the links to George Soros. And how George Soros then later bought huge shares in Ukraine's natural gas companies, $1 billion, as a matter of fact, in Ukrainian energy and technology sectors. And so the tie between George Soros and Hunter Biden and Joe Biden is made in this piece by John Solomon. We'll put that on our Facebook page as well. It's the Ukraine scandal timeline. Democrats and their media allies don't want America to see. It is an amazing story. Rudy Giuliani has gone kind of quiet, was on with Glenn Beck a couple of days ago, and Rudy's gone quiet, you can imagine, because he's like the scapegoat. I remember I told you Chris Wallace over the weekend talked about how Rudy Giuliani had disgraced himself. I don't know, that wasn't his word, but it might have been his word, but it was basically that. He's fallen so low. He's, you know, stooped to whatever, fill in the blank. And, of course, Rudy Giuliani, I believe, is telling the truth. And I'll tell you what he said to Glenn Beck. He said that diplomats, U.S. diplomats, and that's the people that you saw testifying this week, were doing the bidding of billionaire philanthropist George Soros in Ukraine in a massive pay-for-play scheme that included falsifying evidence against President Donald Trump. They took all the corruption cases away from the prosecutor general. They gave it to the Anti-Corruption Bureau. And they got rid of all the cases that offended Soros. And they included all the cases against Soros' enemies. One of the first cases they dismissed was a case in which his NGO, Ant AC, was supposed to have embezzled a lot of money. But not only that, collected dirty information on Republicans to be transmitted, gotten by Ukrainians, to be transmitted to this woman, Alexandra Chalupa, who, by the way, we know was a friend to the whistleblower, Alex Jeremela. He had her in the White House on more than one occasion. Okay, I'll go back to Giuliani's statement. Gotten by Ukrainians to be transmitted to this woman, Alexandra Chalupa, and other people who worked for the DNC. The first case that former prosecutor Yuri Lutsenko tanked was that case at the request of the ambassador. Oh, there's so much more to that, but you get the picture, don't you? You get the picture. This is so dirty, and that's why the Democrats are so desperate to shut this down. At the heart of this is the story that the Russians cooperated with President Trump so that he could win. And hiding this is that piece by Politico I've mentioned so many times. It was, I think, published a week after Donald Trump was inaugurated, and it details Politico, which is a publication. On Capitol Hill that has respect, but it always leans left. They published this a week after Donald Trump was inaugurated, and it goes into great detail about how Ukraine worked with the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton to undermine President Trump and destroy his candidacy and then his presidency. It's an incredible story told by Politico. This is why they are fighting the way they're fighting. By the way, we know now that Hunter Biden is, in fact, the father of that child in Arkansas. He had an affair with a 26-year-old girl while he was dating his brother's widow, and now he cannot deny paternity, so Joe Biden is a new grandpa. That's the story for today. All right, I'm going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the morning.
Neither give place to the devil. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. The Crossing Church in Columbia, Missouri, had a long-established reputation as a loving and upstanding community member. They gained national notoriety for raising millions of dollars to pay off the medical debt of 42,000 people in Missouri. But their gold star was revoked immediately when Pastor Keith Simon committed the unpardonable cultural sin. He preached from Genesis 1:27 that there are only two sexes, male and female. Once he preached that sermon, the Crossing Church was declared to be hateful, unloving bigots. There's no way to appease those who reject God's word unless you reject God's word too. Choose this day who you will serve.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Have you been looking for a way to serve others? Are you able to serve in a ministry without being paid? You and Friendships might be the perfect match. Friendships is currently taking applications for volunteers providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished, both here at home and around the world. Get more information at friendships.org or by calling 337-433-5022.
We need to have our brains saturated in the Word of God in order to be able to defend ourselves against the deception and the lies of Satan.
Brian Fisher, armed with the truths of Scripture, leads the charge into America's culture war.
We need to be people that are immersed in the book, that know the book. Why? Because this is a book of truth.
Listen weekday afternoons at 1 Central. It's Focal Point with Brian Fisher on American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Finally, on Tuesday of this week, we got to hear from witnesses who actually had firsthand testimony to offer in response to the accusation that the president is guilty of bribery. Ranking member Devin Nunes asked Tim Morrison, point man at the National Security Council, did anyone ever ask you to bribe or extort anyone at any time during your time in the White House? Morrison's blunt, direct, forceful answer, no, sir. Then Representative Nunes asked former Ambassador Kurt Volker, did anyone at the White House ever ask you to bribe or extort anything out of anyone at any time? Volker's immediate, forthright, and unqualified answer, no, sir. Representative Radcliffe pointed out that in 35,000 pages of testimony, bribery is mentioned by a witness exactly once, and that was in connection with Joe Biden. This is a sham. It's time to call it off.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. As the Chinese Communist Party boa constrictor inexorably tightens its lethal grip on Hong Kong, the United States government has finally expressed its unequivocal support for that territory's freedom fighters. In a unanimous vote in the Senate on Tuesday and a nearly unanimous one in the House yesterday, Congress has served notice on Beijing that there will be serious financial costs should it deny Hong Kong people the liberties they have courageously demanded since last spring. It now falls to President Trump to sign the Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act into law. Given the veto-proof margins that bill enjoyed in both houses, it will be enacted, even if he declines to do so. But Mr. Trump must seize the opportunity now, as an NBA manager famously, if briefly, urged a few months ago to fight for freedom. Stand with Hong Kong. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. We're going to go to the phone lines right away, but I want to say a really interesting email and Facebook comments today, and I've read almost all of them. So thank you for that, and I hope that you understand why I can't respond. I always tell you that. I can't respond. I try, and I can only, yeah, this is just one of me. Remember Moses when he couldn't meet all the needs? That's kind of the way I feel sometimes. I'm not like Moses. I'm not saying I'm Moses. I'm just saying it's a little overwhelming. So please don't be offended when I can't do all the things I wish I could do. I want to read this one from Pauline because she says, one of our teachers here in Columbia, Mississippi, at New Hope Elementary are having her second grade class pack the shoeboxes, and she's talking about Operation Christmas Child's shoeboxes, and they are sending them out, which brings me to remind you that this is the collection week for those shoeboxes with Samaritan's Purse. So if you haven't gotten your shoebox and you want to do that and then drop it off at a drop-off center, and you can find out where that is by visiting samaritanspurse.org/OCC, samaritanspurse.org/OCC, and make sure that you get your box in with a special gift for a child. And also, of course, they will get the gospel, as you well know. Also want to tell you, we have our Christmas buttons available. They say this year, Jesus, he came for you. What a great message to put on that button. And you can get them at the AFA store, afastore.net. Okay, right away to the phone lines. Let's go to Virginia and talk to Monty. Good morning, Monty.
Sandy, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can.
Just to tell you real quickly, I can't thank you enough. Merry Christmas, and hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
I cannot begin to tell you, right here in Culpeper, Virginia, I mean, if we had a station, sort of like when Ken Ham and Bill Nye, the Science Guy, debated, if we just had a radio station that would broadcast like AFR radio and just talk about the truth and all the things, you know, Obama and Biden did, that's on tape, it's on video, you don't even have to see their pictures. But when truth is truth, it's hard to deny why we keep pursuing lies about Donald Trump and everything else. And the American public just doesn't stand behind their man. I mean, you remember the movie Braveheart?
Yep, I sure do.
That's a Scotland truth, how they refuse to give up. And we in America, because we are Christian, we love the Lord Jesus Christ more than anything else, refuse to give in to the lies of CNN and every station that just will not broadcast like AFR radio. Bless you guys. You're wonderful.
Yeah, Monty, thanks. That's really kind of you. I appreciate that. And let me just say before I let you go, since you mentioned Scotland, you give me an opportunity to say to all of you that I'm actually leaving for Scotland today. Speaking of Braveheart, I don't think I'll see Braveheart, but I am going to see my son and his family, and really looking forward to that. I don't talk a lot about my personal life because we don't have time, and I have four little grandchildren, not so little now. The youngest is two, but I'm going to go today, but you'll be in good hands. Christian Adams will be hosting for me in my absence, and what a great choice, don't you think? Especially with all that's happening in D.C. So please stay tuned. You'll be in very good hands, and I'll be back the Monday after Thanksgiving. Okay, Monty, thank you so much. Let's go to Missy in Ohio. Good morning, Missy.
Good morning. Hey, I just have a really silly question. I'm not even sure if the answer is out there. Is that everybody knows the whistleblower's name, except for the people that are testifying and the people that are doing the questioning. Nobody will say, you know, everybody wants to say, we need to protect the identity of, we don't know who the whistleblower is. We don't know who, but everybody else knows his name. Why is that?
You don't have any idea why that might be, Missy? What do you think?
Well, I mean, because they're stupid. They just want to play stupid. So
yeah, but why would they want to play stupid?
I don't know.
Why would they want to play stupid?
So that the American people will be stupid.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
Because
Eric Chiaramella's associations are so damning. I just told you this mm-hmm. morning about his photo with the president,
right.
President Obama in the White House. We know that he worked with Joe Biden on Ukraine. We know that he did not hear the phone call, but we think Vindman is the one who actually told him. But Vindman, of course, says he doesn't know who the whistleblower is, but we're pretty certain that Vindman is the one, that Eric Chiaramella went to Vindman about this phone call. He's the one that they won't mention his name because they are part of this whole attempt to take down the president. And if they know that if people know about Eric Chiaramella and they know his associations, they will realize it's like, Missy, if somebody comes to you with, somebody said this about you, Missy. She said, you're having an affair with this guy at church. And you would say, and hopefully you're innocent about this, Missy. No comment,
oh, yes,
please. But
definitely.
So you'd say, who said that? Who said a thing like that? Who
right.
said that about me? And they go, oh, we can't
right.
tell you because that would make them
right.
feel bad. Or then everybody would think badly of them. What do you mean?
Right.
I have to go
right.
to, okay, so this is what's happening. Because if it's a person who said that about you who got mad because you took her, you know, Pyrex dish and never returned it, that would have something to do with her motivation. But we're not allowed to know who's saying this about the president. We're not allowed to know that because, you see, if we knew, because we do know, then people would say, you mean, wait, this guy who worked with Obama, who worked with Joe Biden, who is associated with all the resistance in D.C., he's the one that did that? Well, maybe it's not quite as credible as it's being presented on CNN. That's the reason they're not going to tell you who he is. Okay, Missy, thank you. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Scott. Good morning, Scott.
I can't.
Good morning, Scott. Missing? You don't sound like Scott.
Tandy, can you hear me?
I can. It sounded like a woman okay. for a second, but you don't sound like a woman.
Oh. No, I'm not a woman.
Okay, good, good. I'm glad. I wouldn't want to have a woman on the name Scott. Anyway, okay, what's going on, Scott?
Well, I'll be real quick, and I'm kind of nervous. I've never been on the radio, but just want to make some
it's
comments.
It's just you and me. Just you and me.
Just hang up and let you come in. I just want to say a thousand thank yous for what you do and speaking truth. But, you know, I just kept hearing, you know, back when the Obama administration, he withheld money from Kenya for a certain reason. I forgot what the reasons were. Number two, he also was going to withhold money from the public schools, was he not, because they did not pass. He was not going to teach. If they didn't teach the homosexual agenda or the gay agenda, that they wasn't going to get any federal funding.
Well, yes, Scott, it was a transgender bathrooms. That's one issue. He was forcing all school districts to provide bathrooms for transgender kids. Okay, go ahead with your list.
I mean, that's kind of like a quid pro quo there.
Yeah.
And if there's $7 billion missing, and there's one administration wanting to shut the investigation down, wanting to say, well, where is it at? Who are you going to vote for? You know, last February and March, I believe that Ukraine started an investigation. Then why didn't, and if the president wanted an investigation, why didn't all these advisors say, hey, Mr. President, there's an investigation already been started back last February and March. So, you know, I'll hang up and let you comment on that. And thank you, Sandy, for what you do.
Okay, Scott, thanks for the call. Let me just say that last night on one of the interactions, there was a woman testifying. I'm sorry, right in this moment, I can't think of her name. But one of the Republican congressmen went through a very long list of countries where aid had been withheld. And she had to affirm all of it. It was a very, very long list. And this was not, and at the same time that the Ukrainian aid, I think it was only held up for 90 days, was being held up, there were any number of countries. Well, Pakistan was one of them. And so it wasn't unusual. And the president, she was also asked, has the president not made clear that he's concerned about foreign aid, that he thinks we need to cut down on it, that we're spending too much? He campaigned on that, for heaven's sake. And that point was made yesterday. If you missed it, and you probably did, because who wants to watch, you know, 8 hours of interactions? Let's go to Tom in Texas. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, good morning, Sandy. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Good, my pleasure.
And ditto what everybody says. This is a great program, and I make time every morning to listen to it.
Thank you.
But my question is, and I don't know, call me paranoid, but when Bloomberg enters the race, is that going to give him some umbrella of protection and keep Trump from being able to, you know, to investigate anything that might go on with him? Because they go way back, you know, being in New York and everything.
You're asking if it will hurt. I'm not sure who the he is. So you say it will insulate Bloomberg from investigation? Is that what you say?
Yes. If something comes up, and then they'll say, well, no, Trump's trying to gather dirt on an opponent.
Oh, you know, because he's an opponent. Don't think Bloomberg hasn't thought of that and others. I don't know, Tom. That's an interesting thought, but thank you. Let's go to Lisa in Arkansas. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. I wanted to talk a little bit about 5 years ago, you were talking about the transgender movement in Fairfax County, and it kind of plugged me in on what's going on here in Arkansas. And we have a group of faithful people. They love listening to you. They got really engaged with our school board. And last week, maybe it's been 2 weeks now, we had an election and our guy won, but I thought it was curious that the opponent paid $7,000 in out-of-state donations to try and earn that spot, and it's an unpaid position. So we're still seeing the activity of these far-left people, and unfortunately, our big retailer that is located here in Arkansas is a lot of it. But our governor is a Republican, and he recently got back from China trying to, protect some of this trade deal. We give a lot of economic dollars, a lot of taxpayer dollars to Chinese firms, and it was revealed that his son was on the plane with the governor as a representative of the Chinese firms. And so not a lot of people are talking about that. I don't know if that's legal or not, but it just seems suspect with all the other stuff in the news with fathers and sons and positions.
Lisa, why don't you please do me a favor, put that in an email and send it to me, sandy@afr.net, because I can't really comment on that today. I don't know anything about it. So it would be helpful to have that, okay?
Okay. Well, okay. I appreciate all you do. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I listen, thank you for stepping up to the plate and all of your friends down there. This is what we need. We need a takeover just beginning at the grassroots, where you're, as you're doing with your school boards, don't stop fighting, Lisa, because the left never stops. That's our problem. We give up. We think we have one little victory, and then we want to have normal lives. And, well, we should. It's just that we're in a battle. I soldiers would like to not have to fight on certain days, I'm sure, but we are really soldiers in a battle. And so we're going to have to give up some, I'm saying this to myself, some of our leisure and fun, and we've got to apply ourselves to taking back our culture and our families. And that's what you're doing, Lisa. Thanks so much. Let me go to William in Georgia. Good morning, William.
Good morning, Sandy. How you doing?
I'm good. Very good. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. I'm blessed to see another day, thank God. This is the question I have. In lieu of this crazy and ridiculous impeachment inquiry that Adam Schiff insists on pushing, even though he solely defends a whistleblower that he says he claims he never talked to, the thing I can't understand, and this is referring to that last lady that was asking why are they doing the things that they do. My question is, with all this stuff that they're doing and all these covers that they're doing to try to protect this this bogus whistleblower that they're trying to protect, how do they figure that the American people won't come on to what they're doing in their corruption? And how do they figure that we're so stupid to think that we can fall for what they're doing? Because either what they're doing is because they're either willingly ignorant or they're just really dumb.
Yeah, William, I think the answer is simpler than you think, and it's a sad one. And I'm sure you know this because you're very well informed, but you know that that most Americans don't listen to AFR. We have a really huge audience, and it's growing. But not compared to what, ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, and even Fox at times. That's what people are listening to, and they don't hear a lot of the things that I'm telling you. And that's the simple reason. Yes, you're right. Once they hear the truth, then they go, wow, because that's why I played those clips this morning. Rather than listening, hear me. I do tell you a lot of things. I filter a lot of information and give you the most accurate portrayal as I possibly can. But what better than hearing it from the horse's mouth and that interaction? And so that's what people are not hearing. They're hearing Adam Schiff. They're hearing Nancy Pelosi because the media is cooperating. The media is part of the resistance. We are really in, I think, the equivalent of pre-Civil War days, where sides are being taken, and really the risks are just as great as they were then for losing the country. There's no question about it. So the best, smartest thing is to encourage your friends to listen to an outlet like AFR Talk or One News Now is our print media, but also One America News, I think it's called. There are other sources. There are places online where you can still get great information, and that's the only way we're going to sort this thing out. Thanks so much for your call, William. And you all have a blessed Thanksgiving. And remember, you're going to be in very good hands. So make sure you tune in, even though I'm going to be gone. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.